First Peter chapter number 3, and notice verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Heavenly Father, thank you for this few verses. Lord, there's several verses preceding it, several verses following it. Lord, if we had the time, I know we could go into a lot more than we will, but I want to pull from this chapter, without doing harm to the context, I want to pull from this chapter some help for Christians. Lord, I pray that you would teach us some things, not just something that we can hear and agree to for a moment, but some things that we would take from the Word of God, these principles, and begin to activate them in our life. And I would pray, Lord, that you would teach us as Christians how to love life and see good days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I pray for the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray for the families here. Of course, we have a lot to pray about, but we do pray for you. I want you to know, if you attend here on a regular basis, your preacher takes your name before the throne of grace on a regular basis, and I pray for you. One of the things that I've learned to pray is this. I pray that you will love life and see good days. I pray that you'll love life and see good days. Somebody said something a couple weeks ago, and it was a Christian, not a member of this church, no one that's here this morning. But somebody said something the other day that I thought was so heartbreaking. This man claims to be a born-again Christian, and he looked at me and said, I hate my life. I hate my life. Now, I'm going to tell you this, as terrible as that sound, one of the reasons it's as quiet as it is there's a lot of Christians that may not verbalize it, but the honest truth is they do. They literally walk around hating their life. If you ask them, hey, you having a good day? They just look at you and roll their eyes like, why would you think I would? Of course not. One more bad day to a bad life. And I think to myself, come on. I thought salvation was supposed to provide us not just eternal life, but abundant life. And here the Bible gives us an outline. Very scriptural outline that will help us. Preacher, I wish I could get up every day and just say, man, I love my life. Well, the Bible says, if, for he that will love life and see good days, let him. And some of us, I think, just think we're the victim of circumstance. We have no control over whether or not we love life, hate life, have a good day, have a bad day. Look right up here. That's not true. In fact, God says, I'm going to show you some things that if you'll do them will cause you to love life. I look right up here. I don't love everything that happens in life, but I'm going to tell you something. I love life. I'm not looking to trade my life for anybody's in the world. And it doesn't mean that it's not because I don't have problems. It doesn't mean that we don't have challenges. It doesn't mean that we don't shed tears. It doesn't mean that we don't carry burdens. But I'm going to tell you something. I love life. As a matter of fact, if there's something I probably say in a day more than anything else, if something will happen, I'll say, I love it. I love it. Somebody else here, I love it. I mean that. I mean, you know what? I like the life God's given me. I like it. I love it. Preacher, do you have bad days? I'm going to say this. Please listen to me. Not really. I may have something bad that happens during the day. Watch me. Right now, right when that happens, I've got a decision to make. Okay, what I want to do this morning, help some of you. I want you to cancel your appearance on Oprah in your session with Dr. Phil. And whatever, look, I want you to get off the crazy meds. And I want you to cancel your appointment with your psychiatrist. I've got a little sign in my office that says, have you ever seen a motorcycle parked in front of a psychiatrist's office? If you're having a bad day, just get on a motorcycle and just take a ride, man. If you make it home alive, it'll be even a better day, amen. I think people walk around with this, listen, watch this. They walk around with this attitude of, well, they just get all the breaks. They just are lucky. God just loves them. And what the problem is that begins to develop in your heart a bitterness and an accusatory attitude towards God. And yet God says, do you want to love your life? Do you want to see good days? Okay, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And if you'll do it, you know what you'll find out? You begin to love life and you begin to see good days. Let's go through the scriptures. I like these kind of messages because I like taking some of your excuses away. Every time I preach this type of message, I got about a dozen people in this church that just fume during the entire message. Because we have such a victim mentality in America today. We're miserable and we want it to be somebody else's fault. Look right up here. If you're miserable, watch this. It ain't nobody else's fault. Until you settle in on that, and until you're willing to say, what do I need to do? What do I need to follow? What do I need to obey from the scriptures? You're going to spend the rest of your life miserable. Because the Bible puts these things in our hands. Now, let's go through the scriptures. How to love life and see good days. Number one, keep a good heart. Keep a good heart. Now, wait a minute, preacher. That's not the first thing I see in verse number 10. The first thing I see is the Bible dealing with the tongue and the lips, telling us about the words that we speak or don't speak. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Please listen to me. This verse may not seem to be addressing the heart at all, but it seems to address the words our tongues speak, what comes from the lips of a man. But those of you that know the Bible already are being reminded by the Holy Spirit of what Jesus taught us. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now listen to me, folks. If you want to check your spiritual temperature, your physical temperature, you use a thermometer. If you want to check your heart, spiritual heart condition, listen to your words. You know why somebody speaks evil? Because they have allowed evil to settle in their heart. You know why they speak guile? Because they've allowed guile to take over their heart. Do you want to have good days? Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. According to the instruction found in this verse, folks, we must guard ourselves against two heart problems that will soon lead to tongue problems. Here it is. Keep your heart right and keep your heart honest. Keep your heart right and keep your heart honest. Righteousness is the opposite of evil, and honesty is the opposite of guile. If you will get your heart right, and you will be honest in your heart with yourself, with your God, and with other people, you'd be surprised how that's just going to begin to turn your life around right there. I cannot overemphasize the importance of what I just said. Unconfessed sins, watch this, and the necessity of the lies that they then produce. Unconfessed sins and the necessities of the lies they then produce begin to poison a man's heart, and pretty soon it poisons their words. Soon life becomes hard and days become bad. Why? Because of circumstance, because of this person, because of that person. No, because of the burden of sin and the guilt of the dishonesty that taints your spirit, steals your joy, and affects your countenance. Look right up here, young people. I'm going to give you some good advice. As a teenager, I would just make sure that I stay right with God. Stay right with God. If you'll stay right with God, you're going to keep your heart right. One of the problems of sneaking around, one of the problems of doing things that you shouldn't do, one of the problems of never getting those things right, is they begin to develop a burden of sin upon you. You know what? Unconfessed sin produces guilt. A lot of times we don't want to confess sin, so we manufacture lies. We're not honest, we're not righteous, so we have to become dishonest. We're doing wrong, so we have to start lying to cover up our wrong. And the next thing you know, guess what? You're looking at a miserable person. Here's a good question. Wouldn't you like to have this summer? Preacher, this summer I'd just like to have a summer where I love life and see good days. Why not just this morning? Get right with the Lord. Get right with the Lord. What is in the secret recesses of your heart? What is that thing that you've committed and then lied about? What is it that you haven't got right before the Lord? Listen to me. You know, you could leave this auditorium this morning holy and thoroughly right with God if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stay right with God. Adults, keep short accounts with God. This summer, keeping an honest and right heart. It all starts in the heart. I found out this. When I let this thing start getting wrong, everything starts going wrong. I don't deal with the sins of this. I didn't say somebody else's sins. Come on, look right up here. I didn't say somebody else's sin. When I don't keep this thing right, nothing else is right. Okay, next thing you know, I'm saying stuff I shouldn't say. I'm developing attitudes I shouldn't have. Are you getting this? Get right with the Lord. Oh, preacher, what are you talking about? Shh, quiet, listen. Because that's the Holy Spirit telling you. I'm not going to walk to the pulpit with 437 sins to list off here when the Holy Spirit can come right to you and tell you what you need to hear right now. How long are you going to make excuses for that sin? How long are you going to pretend it's not sin? How long are you going to blame somebody else because of that sin in your life? I mean, a wonderful thing happens in the heart of a Christian when we get on our knees before God and we pray the prayer of David, search me, O Lord, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any. And you lay yourself completely wide open to God and let the Holy Spirit do a thorough examination with a willing heart to make right and rectify whatever He would point out so that you can stand before the Lord washed clean. And out of that righteousness, out of that righteous heart, that newborn experience, a forgiveness, all of a sudden a whole new life is born out of that. Keep a good heart. How's your heart? Number two, walk a good path. Walk a good path. The Bible goes on to say this in verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Now there's two paths represented here, the path of evil or the path of good. You want to have a love life and see good days, then you know what? You eschew evil. The word eschew there means to avoid, to deviate, to shun, to detour around evil. And then so you depart from evil and you look instead of for opportunities to do good. How do you live in such a way to love life and see good days? Eschew evil and do good. Now, listen to me. I want to help you with this. This word is very important that you understand. Let him eschew evil. Let me define evil for you. See, sometimes people take the word sin and evil and they want to use them like they're the same thing. They're not the same thing. I'm gonna touch right now the reason that some people live a miserable life. Sin and evil are two different things. The Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. I'm not trying to diminish the horribleness of sin. I am going to tell you this. There's something worse than sin. If you look up the word sin, you know what it means? To miss the mark. That means if I take my bow and arrow and I go to the backyard and I'm aiming for a certain spot on the target and I shoot and I miss that target, that's the idea of sin. It's falling short in an attempt to do right. All of us ought to not use sin as an excuse to do wrong, as a white flag to wave as if we have no control. We ought to strive every day to do right. But in the striving to do right, we're going to fall short. We're going to mess up. It you know what? That's called sin. Now listen to me very carefully. Evil, the definition of evil is not to miss the mark.
Evil is a premeditated determination to do wrong. What's the difference between the two, preacher? Here's the main difference. Sin primarily brings harm to yourself, but evil is determined to bring harm to others. Sin primarily brings harm to yourself. Now, I know sin affects other things, but evil is is determined to bring harm to others. Now, I want to see if I can educate Christians on this. Come on now, look right up here and let me help you. Say, preacher, you mean a Christian can be evil? Absolutely. Absolutely. God has a dim view of evil. You ought to study the word sin all through the Bible. I've done it, Genesis to Revelation. You ought to study the word evil all through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. I've done it. Looked at every verse, put them all in one place, compared them. Scripture comparing scripture. I know what I'm talking about here. God's view of sin and God's view of evil is two different things. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11:19, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we're talking about, you got two paths here you can choose. Choose the path of doing good. An ungodly man, Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent out against him. You better get that, young people. You know, you get to this point where you just, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you know what, I'm just, and you don't care who it hurts, and you don't care, I'm going to do this. God says he sends a messenger out. He dispatches one of his messengers, one of his angels. Same word, messengers. You find angel. He dispatches an angel. Say, go take care of that problem. Go take care of that. Go take some judgment there. Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Proverbs 17:13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. This is crazy. We live in a time where evil is being sold as good and good is being sold as evil. It's crazy. Proverbs 24:19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. And here's what I have learned by studying this, is you know what? God is more patient and tends to bring conviction and a drawing to people that are in sin. But you will see that God brings one thing to evil, and that is judgment. Now I see some of our folks sometimes get cattle walk with God, and by the way, that's going to happen. You know what? We pray for them and we encourage them. We want them to get right with God. But I watch people who profess to be Christians that just decide that they're going to do everything they can to hurt the work of God and hurt the children of God. Their entire focus becomes, how can I hurt this person? What do I need to say to hurt this person? What can I do to damage this? And I'm going to tell you something. God draws a bead on that person. Are you getting this? Now listen, folks. Life, in case you haven't recognized this, has enough built-in hardships. Life has enough built-in heartaches. I preached a message once entitled, "Why Make It Harder Than It Is?" There's going to be enough hard things in life. Why would I want to live in such a way so that God has to get up every day, watch me get up every day, and say to, in his mind, I am going to stretch out my hand of judgment against him all day long. You know why? Because he's carrying within his heart animosity and anger and bitterness and a determination to do wrong and to hurt others. Do I think that's going to result in a life where that I love and in good days? Check your heart, folks. Check your path. Say, preacher, what do you do instead of that? Choose to be involved in that which brings good to others and glory to God. Turn away from that which brings harm to others and dishonors God. Here's the admonition. Do good. Do good. Now, I want to help you something. Preacher, help me out here. I'd love to be able to love my life and see good days. All right, tomorrow I want you to do something. I want you to do good.
I want you to look for people from the time you get up to the time you go to bed to go out of your way to do something special for.
I want you not just to say, I'll do it if it crosses my path. I want you to go out and seek to do it. Some of you ought to say, preacher, give me a church directory with all the names and addresses of the church members, and I'll just pick a family a week, and my family will do nothing but 7 days of good for that family, and then we'll switch to another family, and we'll do 7 days of good to that family, then I'll switch to... And you say, is that scriptural? Well, let me read you a verse. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Well, that would work until I got to a couple of families. I know, that's where the evil is residing. That's where the evil is living in your life.
Yes, sir.
That's where the poison is. That's why your life stinks.
Wow.
Yes, but holding that grudge is more important. Come on now, I like it when it gets quiet like that.
Brother Brent, your son came on a good Sunday morning, poor guy. He's sitting out there going, does he preach to people like this all the time? I want to tell you right now, I'm usually a lot nicer.
Ignore their laughing. I usually am. Those are all the evil people laughing right now. Come on. You know what? We can walk around and ignore the problems, or we can start dealing with them. But listen, if you're not going to deal with them, stop coming up and complaining to me. It's not circumstance. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not somebody else's problem.
You got an opportunity every day to do good, or you can do evil. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Look for an opportunity. Look for an opportunity. I had a buddy in Bible college. You guys remember James Seaman? James wasn't a nice person. I mean, he'd tell you that. He just wasn't a real nice person. I drove in the same carpool with him for about a year. I can tell you, he's just not a real nice guy. And he's studying to be in the ministry. He's not. He's kind of mean to everybody. And one day after chapel, they kind of preached on what I'm preaching on. And he got in the car and he said, okay, I'm changing my ways. I got to start small. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm not very nice. Oh, you think?
You just noticed. What have we been telling you for a year? He said, this is what I'm going to do. I mean, he's serious about it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do one good thing a day. I'm going to do one good thing. Well, it's a start. So we all figured out that if we would catch him early in the morning and ask him a favor, he'd have to do it. So we'd take turns, like, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm knocking on his dorm door. Hey, after chapel, you think you can run me somewhere? And he'd start to say no. He'd go, okay, I haven't done my one thing today, so I will. I mean, start somewhere. Start somewhere. Walk a good path. Man, walk a good path. Now, I can help some. Listen to the next couple things I'm going to say. Most Christians are waiting for good to happen. Stop waiting for good to happen and start causing good to happen. You spend your whole life waiting for good to happen. You're just, you know, maybe today. Everybody walks by. I knew it. They didn't say one nice thing to me. Come somebody by. Nah, didn't even stop to ask if I needed anything. Waiting for the next. Listen, you have made yourself a victim of circumstances and put yourself and your happiness completely into the hands of somebody else. Now throw that mentality away. Why don't you be the person walking by looking for somebody to do good to? See, preacher, you don't get it. What you're trying to convince me to make other people happy. I want to be happy. Okay, here's the great secret. Go spend your life trying to make other people happy, and you know what? Happiness will pursue you and catch you and embrace you every day of your life. Now, I promise this. I mean it. It's not that I'm not a sinner. It's not that I don't have bad days. But I'm going to tell you something. Me and my wife and our family do not wake up every morning. We did not raise our children to wake up every morning saying, who can we get to do something for us today? I never, never measured the goodness of a day by what others did for me. I measured the goodness of a day by how much God allowed me to do for others. Now that is the great key to happiness. You have a choice. You have to first start with your heart. Keep a good heart. Keep account short with God. Stay right with the Lord. Number two, walk a good path. You can choose the path of evil. You can get pulled into all the drama. You can spend your life hating and being bitter against people. You can say, here's your life verse, vengeance is mine, and just stop right there. But the verse goes on to say, saith the Lord. Okay? I'm going to get even. I'm going to fix them. They'll learn not to mess with me. You go ahead. But you're miserable. Come on, you're miserable. You're miserable. You don't have many good days, do you? Choose the path of good. Look for opportunities to be a blessing. Lose your life in somebody else. Number three, choose a peaceful life. Well, what I'm going to say next is so important. Choose a peaceful life. Notice what it says in verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. The word ensue there means to pursue. Always pursue peace. Always seek peace. Always try to come to a peaceful solution. Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Romans 12, 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I understand sometimes, folks, we can make every attempt to live in peace and people give us no other choice. I mean, you want to live in peace, but if a man breaks into your house with a knife and decides he's going to wreak havoc with your family, you know what? You would like to have a peaceful solution, but if not, aren't you glad for Colonel Colt and two men that are heroes of mine by the name of Smith and Wesson? Amen. But the honest truth is, folks, that probably will never happen to most of us in a lifetime. How do you learn to love life and see good days? Seek peace and ensue it. Unnecessary conflict and contention robs us of our joy. Unnecessary conflict and contention. I can help some of you right now if you just hear me out, and I'm not mad at anybody. I really do want to help you. Why don't you sit down with your wife and just agree to have a peaceful marriage? A preacher, I need 45 counseling sessions. No, you don't. You need one meeting of the mind. You need to sit down and say, we're done arguing. We are not going to argue. We are not going to fight. We are going to have a peaceful marriage. If I have to kill you, we're going to have... one way or another. Oh, preacher, I can't help. I just can't help it. I don't mean to argue, but you do. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't. Last thing I knew, your tongue was connected to your mouth. You ever try to argue with somebody that won't argue? I mean, all somebody's got to do is check out. Well, they keep going. Then smile at them. Smile at him. Well, that really gets him going. then when you know when they blow up and blow out and they get done, say, are you finished? Because I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. I mean that. I'm dead serious. I love you. I know you're upset, but I want you to know I love you. But we talked about this, and I'm not arguing. If you want to yell, go in the other room and yell. If you need the house to do it in, the whole house, I'll take a walk. But when we come back, we can discuss things. But I would not live in a war zone. I wouldn't live in a war zone. I don't want to raise children in a war zone. I mean, you know what? Home ought to be that sanctuary. There ought to be one place where you can just go and have peace. Wives, let me help you with something. You know what your husband wants when he comes in the house after working all day long? Peace.
I'm serious. He just wants peace. Well, there's problems and things that have happened during the day. Okay, you know, okay, let's deal with them. But let's not deal with them for 4 hours. Tell me what happened. Line the kids up. I'm not even sure whose fault it was. My dad never seemed concerned about whose fault it was. He just lined us all up, spanked all of us. How many of you ever got a spank you didn't deserve? Come on. All right, how many of you did things you should have got a spanking for and got by with it? So you're even. Just saved you a trip to Dr. Phil. I knew one lady that just lined her kids up once a week and spanked them all, and that's for what I didn't catch you for. Come on now. I mean, let's take care of what we got to take care of, but you know what? You know what I want then? Peace. Peace. When I was in high school, I didn't join the drama club. I was worried about all them guys that did actually join the drama. I just need to leave that alone. I still don't want to join the drama club. Yeah, but did you know what? And I want to talk to so-and-so. And you know, honey, can I help you with that? Stop talking to so-and-so. Because I'd like to come home and just eat. Watch ESPN for a half hour. And smooch. The two kids you've got in the house that don't want to get along, 30 minutes on the couch with their arms around each other. And every 5 minutes, look over and say, okay, kiss each other on the cheek. After 30 minutes of that, they'll do anything to get along. Don't take the bait. Refuse to be drawn into ridiculous conflicts. Avoid people who are contentious. Well, I could help some of you right now if you let me. Just hear me out. I've had some fun. Please hear me. Proverbs tells us that there are men and there are women that are just contentious. They have a contentious spirit. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. And some men just are not happy unless they get something started, get something going. You've got to identify who those people are and get them out of your life to the best of your ability. And if God is identifying that character trait in you, you can get victory over that. Some people just want to fight. They just want to argue. It's sad. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Drip, 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 drip. How about this one? Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Don't you want your husband to want to come home? Don't you want him to look forward to coming home? Stop. Preacher, why is there contention? I can tell you. Here's the secret. Humility produces peace. Pride produces contention. Do you have a verse? Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know why you can't stop arguing? Because you want to have the last word. You want to be right. Well, if I just stop talking, she wins. If I just quit arguing, then he wins. That's your husband. That's your wife. I thought you were supposed to want them to win. You guys look at each other like, you know, you're in the Civil War. You know, they're the grays and here's the blues. And every day, at the end of the day, we tally up who shot each other the most. And that person's the winner of that day. And that's a marriage? The Bible tells us that we're one flesh. Anything that hurts her hurts me. Anything that hurts me hurts her. Why would I want to hurt her? Every time I hurt her, I hurt me. Every time she hurts me, she hurts her. Something. Choose a peaceful life. I mean, family meeting time. First, get together as a couple, then get the whole... Okay, let me just tell you this. No more. We don't holler in this house. Well, if you get stung by a bee or something. But we don't scream at each other. We don't yell at each other. We're not going to get into fights. We're not going to be unkind to each other. Let's make this a perfect, as much as we can, let's make this a perfect example of the kind of house that Jesus would want to come into every evening and spend the evening. Okay? And then let me give you this last thought here. 1 Peter 3:12. Trust in a good God. Keep a good heart. Walk a good path. Choose a peaceful life. Trust in a good God. Trust in the goodness of God. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. It will sometimes seem that evil is rewarded and right is punished. Amen? Someone help me with that? But the Bible just says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You can't let what seems to be short-term results make you bitter against the Lord. Yeah, but they're doing wrong and God ought to punish them. Wait a minute, have you ever done wrong? What did you want, patience or punishment? See, what you're seeing is patience. The same thing you would want if you were that person. But it's funny, when it's somebody else, we want punishment. When it's us, we want patience. God's good. God's good to us when we're not so good. God's long-suffering. Don't get bitter. Don't lose faith. Don't envy the wicked. God is a good God. And he will reward those that choose righteousness. And in time, he will judge those that deserve judging. But that's not for me to call. That's for him to call. Some of you need to take God off trial. I taught you this a couple years ago. I learned it from Pastor Gary Dice. Pastor Gary Dice went to a camp that I preached at, and me and him preached together that week. And the first thing he did, he'd been at this camp for a number of years. The first thing he did was walk the pulpit, and he said, God is good. And all the young people said, then he said, all the time. And he kept doing it. God is good
all the time.
God is good
all the time.
Settle it. Settle it. Okay, bad things happen. Bad things happen. Bad things happen to good people. Life's not always fair. Does that make God bad? God's good. You see, folks, listen to me. Funniest thing, one of the funniest things I ever had a teenager tell me here at this church. I'm going to tell on her. She's not here. But I'll bet she knows about it by the evening service. Here we go. Barbie Jeffrey. Now, I just say her name and those of you know her either smile or want to laugh. Barbie. I love Barbie. I mean, she's like our, I don't know, how many do we have now? Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh daughter. Kelsey, we've adopted her for the summer, it looks like. And so we just, you know, we have several kids. But Barbie, and I'm going to say this to you. Barbie, honestly, had kind of a rough way up. I'm not going to go into it, but she kind of had a rough way up. A lot of people in this church was very good to that young lady. A lot of people in this church showed her love when she wasn't getting much love in her life. But she, as rough as she had it, you hardly ever seen her without a smile on her face. Come on now, am I right? If I wanted to, I could tell stories that I'll never tell. If anyone had a reason during that time in our youth group to walk around with a sullen spirit, it would be Barbie. And yet you hardly ever see her while she wasn't smiling or laughing. I asked her that one day, I said, Barbie, you are so happy all the time, it's annoying. I'm just teasing her. I said, honestly, I know everything's not great in your life. Where do you get this? Now, I'm going to tell you what she said, and then I'm going to try to tweak it a little bit so we can learn something from it. This is what Barbie said. Pastor Jerry, she said, I have a kind of a philosophy I live by. I always expect the worst to happen. That way, when it does, I'm not surprised. But when something good happens, I feel really blessed. Now, I'm not sure you ought to be that morbid. But can I tell you something? You say, preacher, are you having a good day? Preacher, in the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, has every day been a good day? Folks, you know what I deserve? You know where I ought to be? Here's a great thing to remember. Anything this side of hell is good. Come on now. Anything this side of hell is good. It's what I deserve. By the way, if you don't realize that you deserve that, you've never been saved. You're walking around thinking you don't deserve it, and yet you claim to be saved. You're not saved. Because you've got to understand that that's what you deserve, or you can't get saved. But then we forget it quickly afterwards. I mean, I ought to be in the lake of fire. Grace, wonderful grace. You know, watch this. Let me give you something. A bad day on earth is still a good day to anybody that's on hell, in hell. You know, it's all perspective. Two things, I'm going to tell you this. We had two black labs the girls grew up with. One of them died last year. I don't remember when. And I had to put the other one down Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? Wednesday? I don't know. Put the other down. Tag. We've had those dogs for 13 years. Now, somebody comes into church this morning and says, preacher, have a good week. Nope. Tag down. Miserable week. Horrible week. Folks, 46 kids got saved this week. Yeah. I'm trying to teach you something. Yeah. So, did you enjoy that? No. Was it hard? Yeah. Guess what? Life has a hard thing every week. Yeah. At least a hard thing every week. Now, I've got to choose what I'm going to do. Hey, my grandson came home Tuesday. We walk right by miracles and blessings and grab a hold of that one negative thing that happened. And everybody that comes to us, that's what we want to show them. And that is not fair to God. That is not fair to God. That's not a fair representation of what he did in your life this past week. That's not fair. Life has hard things in it. So are you going to walk around and collect them and carry them around with you and put them in your heart? And every time somebody asks you how life is, you want to just, that's what you want to talk about? I mean, most of the hard things that happen, I never, watch this, I never give voice to. You say, why? Because every time I think I ought to, I start comparing them to the unbelievable and wonderful blessings of grace of God. Folks, I didn't miss a meal this week unless I chose to. I put on clean clothes and I slept in a nice bed. We've got air conditioning. Yeah, come on. Some of you young people think every house has always had air conditioning. Some of these older folks are going, yeah, air conditioning. We got in a car and it started. And even if it hadn't, it wouldn't have been a bad day. Oh, I forgot to tell you this too. When I went to mow my yard this week, my mower had a flat tire. God could keep air in that tire. Trying to do everything right. I walk out there and it's flat. The preacher wants me to walk around acting like everything's good. It's not good. Got this horrible life. Everybody else, no, stop it. Come on, stop it. Come on. Hey, Sister Tina's had a rough week. Sister Tina has her husband. Amen. Come on now. I mean, you just got to decide the way you're going to look at stuff. Come on now. I mean, you talk to Dr. Ridge. We should not have been in the emergency room. We should have been planning a funeral. Ain't God good? To give us so many blessings. Undeserving. That's what we are. You call evangelist Bob Hamlin up if you're having a bad day. I'll give you his cell phone number. He'll enjoy the fact that I'm going to let everybody call him. Just call him up. And just say this, Brother Hamlin, how you doing? And what's he going to say? Everybody knows him. If you ask Bob Hamlin, how you doing? Every single time in my life I've ever asked him that question. I've known him for good night, 25, 30 years. Every single time he says, better than I deserve. Why don't you go ahead and grab a hold of that? Why don't you have that heart mentality? Are you getting this? You want to have a good life? It's there. You want to have blessed days? They're available. It's not that God is good to some and bad to others. Guess what? Everybody has heartaches. Everybody in this room can stand up and do one of two things. They can stand up and tell you about the trials and tribulations of the last couple weeks, or they can stand up and tell you about the blessings of the next couple weeks, because we all have both. We just got to decide what we're going to do with those things. Preacher, I want to love life and I want to have good days. Keep a good heart, walk a good path, choose a peaceful life, trust in a good God, maintain a good attitude, and you'd be surprised how good life is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to grab a hold of this portion of Scripture. Maybe we mark it in our Bibles. Maybe we put a little bookmark here, and during those difficult times when, honestly, maybe circumstances do overwhelm us a bit, and Lord, maybe the tears are flowing, and sometimes we need that. But God, I pray that we'd find our way back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we grab a hold of these truths. And we'd leave this time, the time we spent in these verses, clapping our hands. Yeah, maybe the tears are still flowing, but clapping our hands and praising the Lord and saying, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Pray, Lord, that we would look for opportunities this week. With a group of people this size and the instruction that they've received from the Scriptures, Lord, we ought to be able to go out in this community and make such a difference. If every Christian would just decide, I'm going to die to self and live for others for 1 week and see if the preacher knows what he's talking about. Nothing's going to be about me. Everything's going to be about everybody else. And I'm going to try to make everybody as happy and be as good to as many people as I can and be a blessing to as many people as I can. If something harmful comes my way, I'm not going to sit around feeling sorry for myself. I'm going to think this thought, I could be in hell. That's where I really deserve to be. This isn't so bad. And every blessing that comes, may we praise the Lord. David said, 7 times a day will I praise thee. Use these truths in our lives to help us. Shore us up, God. Give us a little touch of Holy Spirit revival in our lives, we pray. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the first step to the transformed life is salvation. The Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart concerning eternity. If you died right now, where would you go? Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you understand the gospel? Do you have questions? We have men at the front that's ready to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Or if you're a lady, they'll get a lady to show you how to be saved. Christian, maybe the honest truth is life has just gotten you down a bit. And sometimes we just need to get to an altar and clear some things up and cleanse some things out and get a hold of God. Ask God for victory. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation. We pray in Jesus' name.